Hey everyone, this is Gary from Lemtonhour, and today we are listening to the Lemtonhour podcast with me, Gary Jones. Now, how are you all doing this week? Now, I am in the lovely Warwick Street kitchen here, along Warwick Street in Leamington Spa, to record this interview, which is absolutely amazing. I'm with Rebecca Lai, who is the owner and the founder of Tedication. Now, we'll go into a little bit more about what Tedication does later on in the podcast, but it splits into two parts. Part one's all about her background and how she's got to that point, and part two is what she's learned. And it's a great interview, so please share it with anybody who you think will benefit from it. But without further ado, let's crack on with part one of me and Becky in this brilliant podcast. Let's take it away. Hey, everyone. So today's guest is Becky, who runs Tedication. Is that right?
Yes, Tedication. Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I got the name right. Now, I've known Becky since the Networking Mummies Awards back in April this year.
Yeah, in May.
Time goes too
quick.
The
awards, yeah.
And she, her business fascinates me, and we've got so many links in terms of being creative, and I just love what she's doing in her plan. So I wanted to get on the show so she can share that with us today. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
That's all right. So tell us a little bit about, first of all, Becky as a person before we move on to Tedication. So how did you get into what you're doing now?
Into my business?
Yeah.
Well, I've been a teacher for the last 18 years. And in 2012, my twins came along. Mm-hmm. And life changed quite radically in lots of ways, in terms of not any sleep. And at the time, I was a deputy head at a junior school in Solihull, and trying to juggle being a mum and a teacher at the same time was quite tricky. And I felt I was doing everything superficially.
Yeah.
And I've always loved working with children, and in this type of profession you can't do it superficially, it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And so I decided that a change of career, but using my teaching skills, and I decided that to set up my business working with children for preschool class. And I'd been to lots of classes with my twins, like Dandy Development, and loved it, but there was a gap in the market from when that finished and really until school, and I didn't want to go down the route of music classes or art classes, and there's fantastic classes out there, but I wanted something a bit different. So I thought of the idea of Tedication, which is a class for 2.5 to 4-year-olds, and it's really sort of their first steps of learning, but done in a way that the children wouldn't even know they were learning. So it's using your imagination, it's interactive, and we cover lots of different subject areas each week, and develop different skills, so fine motor skills that help them with writing and other sort of skills, and gross motor skills, all these sorts of things that help them prepare for school. So it was a class to help prepare children and parents for school life, but in a fun way.
Brilliant. And the bit that I liked about it was that you followed your passion. You're passionate about helping people. Your background suited that, and that's where it was going.
Yeah.
But you saw a gap, and you went and you created something.
Yeah.
And that's a bold step to create something new.
And I think, unfortunately, in teaching, when you get to a certain level, because I was deputy head of the school, you become further away from teaching. You get an overview of the school. So I actually kept sort of move further away from the children and teaching, and I wanted to get back into actually working with the children, because that's the bit I love, and every day is so different, and what you can, you know, get from the children, there's no other job out there that's like it, and I love working with children, and my own children, how they, watching them how they develop and grow, I wanted to support other families on that journey and try and use my teaching skills to do that.
Brilliant. I know we spoke about before about the different ways people learn.
Yeah.
And you gave an example of one of the classes that you were, well, one of the examples of the class that you did.
Yeah.
Would you mind sharing that? Because that was a great example of taking all those kind of different teaching styles and learning experiences and putting it into one class.
Yeah, because children learn in lots of different ways. Mm. You get children that are kinesthetic learners that need to physically do something in order to learn. And then you've got children that visually learn, have to see something in order to understand it. And then you've got the children who actually have to hear and to be told instructions. So we last week, the theme was Halloween, and the children had to mix a magic spell, and it was based on something familiar with them, so Meg and Mog stories. And the problem was that Meg had left a spell for the wizard to carry out, but he slipped over and bumped his head, so he couldn't remember the spell. So the children had to follow the instructions and mix the spell. So we had things like giant's dandruff, giant's earwax, worms, caterpillars, pond water. Obviously these were not the actual things. Oh. I'm not sure with health and safety how we might stand with that. So then they had to mix it, and then at the end I invited the children to think of some magic words, and we said some magic words, and then the ones that they'd been stirring the cauldrons with were straw, so they could blow down them and create bubbles. So the whole time they were doing this was to do with language development, talking about what they could see happening. And then after that we moved on to the kinesthetic side, so we moved like things you would find at Halloween, so ghosts, pumpkins, and then we finished up with actually a craft activity, so they could be creative, but we were using scissors, sticking and gluing, which is all fine motor skills, which develop muscles in their hands in order to write at later stages of life. So, so we use lots of fun imaginative things.
I love it. How do you come up with all the ideas? Because I'm guessing that's not the only class you do. So how many different classes and how do you come up with them have you got?
So we run classes on basically on a 10-week term, and I look at things that are happening. So it might be to do with things in weather or season, and that will influence my classes, or it could be things that interest me, or things part of the curriculum that I link it with the early learning goals. So it is based on education. So I've taken the learning from there and use that to influence my planning. But also I look at what my children enjoy as well, and I feed that into the way I plan. And originally, when I first started my business, I'd planned that it would run for 10 weeks. We would graduate at the end, so the children wear capes and have certificates and have photos, very official, that they graduate into superheroes. But I found that parents wanted to stay on. So my business plan changed. So I now run an autumn, spring and summer term classes, and I've had parents now stay with me for a whole year, which is, you know, something I hadn't even dreamt of happening. So they obviously liked it to come back, and in fact actually I had a lot of children move on to reception. I keep forgetting to say that actually I should mention Teddy Neuron who actually is my, I suppose, 50 centimetre bear.
I was going to say, I was going to go on to that in a bit, let's talk about Teddy Neuron, because he's just a dude.
He sets all the missions for the children.
Okay.
So at the start of the class, they have to go and find him, because he's hiding somewhere in the room, and then he comes along and gives them a big Teddy high five.
Okay.
And then he sets them all their missions to complete, and at the end he rewards them with stickers and gives them a big high five, and they complete their mission at the end of it.
Let me get this straight. You've got the children, I'm just thinking, stuff for children. This is great for adults, because you've got a teddy who sets missions, he gives people a high five. When they finish it, they get a cape.
Yeah.
And they become a superhero.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? That's brilliant. But you told me the story about how you designed Teddy Neuron, and we didn't really go into the inspiration behind him.
I think I always wanted a superhero, because for the children, I wanted him to inspire the children, and that he was going to set them challenges for them to complete. But I wanted a character that was friendly. And most of us, I don't think I've ever met a scary bear. No. I think bears are quite a safe animal for children to love and to hug. And to be honest, a lot of babies get bought bears when they're little, so it's something they've grown up and they're familiar with. So a bear was the idea to start off with, and I designed him. My dad's an airbrush illustrator, so he drew him and brought him to life. And then a friend of a friend who is very talented at making sort of memory bears from children's clothes and so on. I approached her to do it, and after lots of research, because it was quite particular about the materials he had to use, it had to be a fluffy bear, and his cape and so on had to look like a superhero cape. And he's got superhero boots as well. And so she made him for me, and he's a one-off, he's a one and only bear, so he's very precious.
It's a brilliant, brilliant... I don't want to say the word asset, but it is a great it's a great asset to have as a business, and it's brilliant that the kids can engage with it. It's great that you've implemented, you know, him into, well, incorporated it into the actual activities. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, the children love him, and he gets cuddles. It started off with just a high five, but now he gets kisses, cuddles, tickles, raspberries on his stomach. So he is a well-loved bear.
Bless him. Well, at that point, I think we're going to stop for part one, and then when we come back from part two, I want to delve a little bit more into the actual kind of business. So kind of maybe some of the challenges that you faced and some of the really good stuff that you've got planned coming up that you can't really talk about, but you can talk about it. If that's all right?
Yes.
Cool, let's do it. Now, if you want to get involved with Lemon Tonal podcast, all you need to do is check me out on Twitter. My username is at Lemon Tonal. Let me know that you want to be on the podcast, and let's arrange to meet up, because I want to hear your story and I want to tell people all about the great things that you've done and your passions and your background and how you can help them. So if you do want to get on the podcast, let me know. In the meantime, let's rejoin me and Becky for part two of this brilliant interview. We're back for part two. Now, in the first part, we spoke about the background to education, how Becky moved from being a teacher or a deputy head to being a business owner. And I just want to explore that a little bit more in this part, because I think that's actually part of the journey where a lot of people feel they want to go, potentially, but don't necessarily do it. So let's talk about your first year, if that's okay.
Well, I started initially running sort of trial classes to see whether the business was viable or not, whether people would be interested. And I would say those first few months were pretty difficult because numbers attending were pretty low, and it doesn't help with morale when you've left a job where it was a fairly good salary. I was very good at it, and I'd become a deputy in my 20s, so I was, you know, quite career driven
and very successful,
and thank you. And so it was a leap of faith starting this business, but we were just having a conversation about it is difficult initially, and having the faith to carry on and having a good support network around you, that family that believe in what you're doing. And I think it's seeing that bigger picture, that the reason why I stepped out of that job to move into my own business was to continue my love of teaching, but also have my family around me and support my family the best way that I could be. So being a businesswoman and a business mum,
which is important, because then you're actually going to get the best out of yourself, because you're going to be driving towards both goals, but they both serve the same purpose.
So after the initial sort of trial, I launched it a year ago in September, and the uptake was good, and as I said previously, I'd sort of planned it only to run for 10 weeks, and then I thought, well, then I'd get the next set of children and parents in, but they actually wanted to stay on. They liked what they were doing, so I continued. And it is hard work. It's a lot harder than I ever thought it was going to be. And before, with teaching, I would spend evenings and weekends planning, I suppose, for somebody else. I was actually planning for myself, which does make a difference. I don't mind using that time when I know it's going to benefit me and my family. But it was done in evenings because of to look after the children and so on.
So you're still juggling that?
And I think I always will do. And so that was initially quite hard, and I think I've now delivered my sort of 4 years teaching program, and I think I can do this year even better. Not that I'm saying that before wasn't as good, but I think with anything, you look at things and you reflect on it and think, well, actually, I could deliver that better, or I can tweak certain things to improve. And getting feedback as well. I asked for feedback at the end of my first year from parents about what they enjoyed, and some of it is quite hard to accept. But I've taken things on board and adapted it, and I think for the better. And I mean, we met at the Networking Mummies Awards, which was a real honour to be a finalist there for New Business Award. And I met so many other inspiring people. And then as the years progressed, I got nominated for a What's On For Children's Award, which was a national thing. And there was, I think, I don't know, about 10 of us in the category from across the country. For children's classes, and I got through to the final and went down to London. It was a couple of weeks ago, and I won an award for Highly Commended, which was a bit of a shock to the system.
Brilliant.
I hadn't planned a speech or anything. I'd even put my posh shoes in the cloakroom because I didn't think, oh, it won't be me. So I had to clamber across a row of people to go out the front to have a photo taken in my flats, not my heels. I didn't feel particularly glamorous, but
congratulations. Thank you. National awards, amazing.
Yeah. No, I am really chuffed, and because it was parents voting, I think it means even more, because it's that confirmation that actually all the struggles and all the things that were difficult, it is being successful, and that, you know, so many positive things have come out of it, and I've met so many amazing people, business mums and dads, and all wanting similar things, that they want to use their career to set up their own business and want to have that balance of family life and everything else. And you know, it is a good option, but you do need to persevere
and not give up. I love the fact you've put on two points that I'm really passionate about, and that's, first of all, be adaptable. So you said right from the start you only wanted to do it for, well, you only planned to do it for 10 weeks, but because of feedback you changed it and you went for the whole year. You accepted people's feedback, which again is really important to grow as a business and a person, and then you tweaked it. So that for me is massive. So being adaptable to any situation.
Yeah.
But then the second point is celebrating your success.
Yeah.
You've been nominated for 2 national awards and you won one where, by your own admission, you didn't think you were going to win it. So you put your fancy shoes in the cloakroom. Do you know what? That's brilliant. But being adaptable and celebrating success are really important. And I think does that help you drive your business forward?
Yeah, because I think you continuously want to improve because it's your own baby. You always see room for improvement and growth, and you want it to be the best it can possibly be.
Yeah.
And you want your reputation to grow. And I have to say, a lot of my bookings now are through word of mouth. So as much as I advertise it, it's through what other people say. And that's the highest, I suppose, award for your business can get, because people think it's good and they want to come along again. And I have to say, it is ups and downs, that starting this September, because I'd lost a lot of my children to reception and they'd moved on.
Yeah.
So I'd gone from full classes to having to start again this September. And again, we talked about highs and lows of how you feel.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh gosh, what happens if nobody wants to come or nobody turns up? And it is, again, you start building it up again and classes are growing. And then I know that by the end of the year, they'll be full again. Mm-hmm. But it's that roller coaster ride. And, and I've got other exciting things to happen.
Before we go into that, let's just talk about, because you hit again on another point.
Yeah.
And there's just so many golden nuggets in this, but we'll go on to your last one in a moment. But there are, setting up your own business, there is massive highs and lows. And some people might be in a position where they're thinking, actually, do I not?
Yeah.
What would be your advice to them if that's the case?
I think using your skills, you've got to, I don't know, feel confident that the fact that you've done well so far in the job that you're doing, so those skills are transferable. I think that if you've got a strong network of family and friends who can support you, and that is important, because when you're giving up a salary to probably start from somewhere that was perhaps that you're earning maybe when you were a teenager, or that it is hard. So having that support network, but the thing is, it's you only live this life once, and if you don't try it, then how are you ever going to know if it's successful? And if been successful in what you've already done, the chances are that you've got that drive and determination to move forward and to be successful in what you do.
Brilliant.
So I would say go for it, that I think you've got everything to gain from it. And there, and it is highs and lows, and I'm not going to say every day is going to be great or you're going to enjoy it all the time. Especially, I came from a teaching background, not a business side, so the whole tax and everything else is a bit scary, but luckily my husband's an accountant, so that helps. But there's always people there to support you and to encourage you. And we were talking about networking mummies, how that has been sort of a real helpful factor, meeting other people that are in a similar situation that set up their own businesses, asking, being able to ask questions, and know that there's a support network out there and people going through exactly the same things as you.
I think that's important, because people think actually they're just going through it themselves, and no one else is feeling like this, because why would they? Because this is my business, so I feel like this. And I'm talking about it through personal experience as well. But actually, when you talk about different business owners and their journey, everyone feels pretty much the same. Everyone's got pretty much the same insecurities at different points in time. Whether they want to vocalise it or not is a different matter. But actually, it's all about the journey.
It is.
And if they have got the drive and they've got the support network, it really does help. Now, talking about the drive and support network, what's next for you? Because you've got some exciting plans coming up. which she's not really delving too much into it.
No. Well, it's still, I suppose it's still work in progress. That I was lucky enough to be approached by a really exciting new business opening up in Warwick, called Children's Play Village, which is a role play village where it's literally children step into this street and it's a real life street with real life shop fronts, and it's all geared to role play and learning through play. So it's really exciting, something that's, you know, nothing out there that's quite the same as this. And I was lucky enough to be approached by the business owners, and through other, I suppose, connections, managed to talk to them. And I'm on board with helping plan sort of ideas that you could do with your child in the play village. So you could either take the route of just going to play, which is what it's set up for, or if you want to get something a bit more out of it, that there's ideas that you could do with them. And it's a real sort of honour to be part of this, and the fact that I know that they were looking for someone that sort of displayed my skills in my business to be on board. So that's a real compliment to be part of.
I think when you're looking at the bigger picture, I don't actually believe in luck in terms of I think you actually do make your own luck. I do think you make your own luck, and actually I think where that you position yourself, where that your business is running, and you as a person, that's probably going to be the main driver behind it. It is. So that's going to be setting up, and that's work in progress at the moment, which is great. So we can find out more maybe in the next couple of months.
And I'll be able to run a couple of my classes from there, so that's that point. And then also looking to run some other classes in Stratford and Solihull, so widen my reach.
Brilliant. Now, at the end of every interview, we always ask the lovely guest what their golden nugget will be. So this will be their one bit of advice for anybody setting up or running their business. So what would your golden nugget be?
I think it would be is support networks. I think there's so many people out there, like we were talking about, going through the same things as you, setting up a business, joining a really good support network like Networking Mummies, or there's lots of, I'm part of Mama Tribe as well, where they're all business people that might be asking questions about certain areas of their business that need advice on, and there's somebody out there that can give you that support or guidance. And I think it's also making those connections that actually help develop your business. So I was talking to you earlier about Nikki Sayers from Dandy Development, inspiration for me for starting my business. And I've been fortunate enough to go along to a couple of her events, and potentially those children will move on from her class to mine. So there's lots of ways of linking with other businesses. So in terms of business growth and support.
Love it. Love it. Now, if someone wanted to find out more information about Dedication, where could they find you?
They can find me on Facebook, Tedication. They can find me, I suppose, via mobile phone.
Yeah.
Can I give a number?
You can if you want, but it's up to you.
And I'm on Twitter, Instagram.
Yep. Have you got a website people can check
out? Yes. Yep. www.teddy-cation.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Becky, for that great interview. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Becky, for that brilliant, brilliant interview. Now, remember, please, please, please follow her on social media, check out her website, and see the exciting stuff she's doing. This lady's going places, and please, please, please tell people all about her. Now, if you do want to get in touch with me, remember, check me out on Leamington Hour. I'm available at any time, and I would love to talk to you and hear about your business. Now, if you do want to hear a bit more about different people's stories, all you need to do is check out my podcast. It's on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and loads of other places. So please, please, please share, tell people all about it. Have a great time, my friends. Take care.